You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Dave, I know that the power of the staff, like I'm guessing, you know, growing up, you were probably a big wrestling fan. You're big into props. So you were watching the St. Louis, Arizona game, and you're just like, huh, here's Pavel Buchnevich just channeling his inner Goldie Rogers or Goldie Roberts or any, but we want to go old school guys here. Like, that was a full-on headbutt that you just don't see very often. How many games do you think he gets?
Yeah, you don't see that very often. Just to be clear, I was not a wrestling fan growing up. The only thing I can tell you about wrestling is the one guy who said Elizabeth, and I don't even know who that is, but that's just the saying. I don't know.
Oh, that's Stretti. That's Stretti's favorite wrestler.
That's Macho Man, the greatest wrestler of all time.
Here, do you want to hear the Macho Man impersonation from Struds?
I do, very much, yes.
Ooh, yeah, the cream always rises to the top. Ooh, yeah.
He's the greatest wrestler of all time, man.
That's legit, Stretti. No, that's all I can tell you about wrestling. But it's funny that headbutting is suddenly becoming a thing. Like, we thought we saw one in the Battle of Alberta on Saturday night, and I think once we saw alternate replays, it became clear that it wasn't, in fact, a headbutt. It was more of a shove, and then, you know, the momentum falling forward led the head into the body. But, yeah, that was a full-on headbutt last night. How many games do I think Buchnevich get? It's, like, kind of out of character for him, too. I mean, he's a skill guy and all of that. So you don't expect guys like that to go down that type of a road, really. I think you kind of got to be somewhat stiff on this to set a precedent that this in no way can be tolerated. So I would say like four games I would expect. Like, I don't think it's going to rise. Like, his hearing, it's not in person, is it?
No.
I don't think
no.
so. But
no, it's over the phone, yeah. Which means it can't be more than five. So.
Exactly. So that's why I think it's going to be four. But you know, at the high end, the highest end that they can get before inviting him in person. It was bizarre. You don't see that very often. And quite frankly, we don't need to see that very often. There's no room for that in the game.
Michael Bunting with the Toronto Maple Leafs seems to be making the most of opportunity he's been given. So is he the right guy for that spot, or is he the guy in that spot that's making the most of the opportunity?
I think he's the right guy for the spot he's in right now. And I'd argue that it's getting pretty close to the time where we look to see if he should be playing with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, because my goodness, through four games, there's not been a lot going on from Nick Ritchie's position on that line. It's quite frankly hard to play the amount of ice time that he has over the first four games and be as invisible on the score sheet and, you know, really any part of the stat sheet as he has been. I haven't noticed anything out of him whatsoever. And I think Bunting, on the other hand, has really played quite well. Look, I think he understands his game, and he knows what he has to do to have success. And what Sheldon Keefe was saying the other day, and I really like this comment, he said, look, he really wants to score. And he jumped in right away and he said, now, I know everybody wants to score, but it's very obvious with Michael Bunting how much he does. And in saying that, because of where he goes on the ice, he gets to the front of the net where, you know, by and large, a lot of the goals are scored unless you're Ovechkin or Matthews or, you know, Stamkos, Kucherov, whatever, somebody like that. If you're Michael Bunting, you got to get to the front of the net to score goals. And he's been doing that with alacrity all year long, and it's already paying off for him. He scored a goal last night where he barged his way to the front of the net, fought a couple guys off, got his stick on Morgan Riley's shot, and was able to jam it over the line. So it's not pretty, but I don't think he cares about playing a pretty game. He cares about playing an effective game. And so far, whether it's been with Tavares as he was last night in Nylander, or Kerfoot and Nylander for the first three games when Matthews was out, Bunting has played really, really well. And I think of all of the guys that the Leafs brought in on hope deals, as I've been calling them, he is by far and away the guy who has performed the best through the first four games.
Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM. joins us. It's very early day, but the Montreal Canadiens' offensive woes are pretty apparent. Three games, three goals, their power plays 0-for-11, and it's shaping up to maybe be a pretty long season for the Canadiens.
It is. The fact they don't have Mike Hoffman in the lineup does not help, and if he could get back in sooner rather than later, and my understanding is he's trending toward a return again sooner rather than later, that would be a good thing, because you'll be able to help on the power play, be able to help probably in the second line a little bit. That'll be good. But, you know, look, right now in Montreal, they're relying by and large on some younger guys to really carry the load, Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield. And Suzuki played really well last year and into the playoffs. He was an effective player. I don't know if he is an offensive dynamo. I think he could be a 65-point-a-year type guy, but he's not a 90-point-a-year type guy, I don't think. And with Cole Caulfield playing on that line, they want Suzuki taking on a lot of the heavier minutes, especially now without Philippe Deneau in tow. So now Caulfield's in a position where he might be playing a little bit higher in the lineup than he should be at this point, playing against players that so far the matchup hasn't gone very well. And when you look down the lineup, their depth is not what it was last year. And when you think about it, guys, look, the Habs had a great run last year, but it was on the backs of guys like Carey Price and Shea Weber. Philippe Deneau was excellent in keeping Matthews and Marner, and then Shifley and, you know, Connor and Wheeler, and then Pacioretty and Stone off the board throughout that run. He's not there anymore. Neither is Weber, neither is Price right now. So there's been a lot of turnover in very key positions with guys who really carried the mail last year. Now that responsibility is falling to different players, and so far through the first three games, it hasn't gone the way Montreal has wanted it to. But quite frankly, I'm not entirely surprised, because in this Atlantic division, you know, I've got Tampa, I've got Boston, I've got Florida, I've got Toronto. That's four teams. Montreal's behind them. I wasn't expecting a lot from Montreal this year, so to see where they are right now, I can't say I'm surprised.
Talking with all things hockey with Dan McArthur from Sirius XM. He's the NHL host on there. You know, last night the Calgary Flames took on the Ducks, and they're not able to generate a lot of, you know, goals. Maybe they're around the net and some chances even against Oilers. I thought they probably maybe deserved more goals than they got, but at the end of the day, they're not scoring. Is that, you know, a telltale sign of what's to come this year, or is that just kind of who they are?
Yeah, like, I never like to get too carried away with results in the first week. Like, we're legitimately three games in, four games in. Some teams have only played one game. Calgary, you look, coming into the year, they've only played two games. I did not necessarily think of them as a team that would be able to beat you in a track meet. And that's not what they're trying to do either. They're trying to play low-scoring hockey, Daryl Sutter-type hockey, grind it down. Like, put it this way, if you're looking to buy a ticket to some event for entertainment, I would not recommend a ticket in the Saddle Dome in Calgary, because, I mean, they may win a few games, but it's not going to be entertaining. And right now, look, they haven't scored a lot. I don't expect them to score a lot. They'll have some games where it'll go in the net, but I don't think, by and large, that's going to be their recipe for success. If they're going to win, it's going to have to be a lot of games, 2-1, 3-2 type games. Jacob Markstrom is going to need to be really good. And they're going to need to get timely scoring from guys like Monahan and Goodrow and Lindholm and Tkachuk. But, you know, even if all those guys are going, I put them behind a lot of other offensive guys in this league, even in that division. Like, Vegas is banged up right now, so that could introduce a wild card into the whole situation. But like Edmonton, I'll take their offense ahead of Calgary's any day. Vancouver, take their offense ahead of Calgary's any day. Vegas, when they're healthy, sure, I'll take them ahead of them as well. So, you know, at this point, I know the Pacific is a little bit maybe less deep than the three other divisions, but I still think Calgary's going to be really in tough to make the playoffs this year, just the way their lineup is constituted.
Dave, for me, when I look at, you know, the early season things, one of the biggest surprises to me is the New York Islanders. Now, it's very early, but the New York Islanders were the best team in the NHL at allowing 5-on-5 goals last year. They allowed the fewest. They've allowed 10 5-on-5 goals in two games. And they start with that ridiculous 14-game road trip. Now, I know they come home and practice and everything, but still, that's what they start the season at. When is it a cause for concern in New York, and how much of that is that maybe Sorokin's not the guy who's ready to carry the ball, as some people thought?
Well, I mean, when you've got a young goalie, it's always a bit of a rolling in the dice situation. Like, we saw Carter Hart last year had a really difficult year after what was a really impressive first year in the NHL. And so far this year, he's kind of been up and down a little bit. So when you've got a goalie who's a year or two or three into his career, and you want him to be the guy that carries the mail, I do think it's a bit of a risk at times. Now, I do think Sorokin is a good goalie. And my belief right now is that these two games were just outliers for a number of different reasons. But I think where my concern would start to seep in for this Islanders team would be sort of toward the end of next week. If they haven't righted the ship, not this weekend, the weekend after, by that weekend coming up, and they're looking at an 0-4-2 type of situation, that would be really, really an element of concern for me, because then you've essentially got through half that road trip and you haven't won a game. Then you got to go bananas in the second half to even just get back to the level watermark of 500. And in that division, in that metro, there's a lot of teams that are intending to contend. Like, look at what Pittsburgh's been able to do without Crosby and Malkin. I think their start has been fantastic. They're going to get Crosby back soon. Washington intends to be a good team this year. The Rangers, we saw them last night here in Toronto. They're a good team. Like, they've got some elite-level talent. And Shesterkin, when I talk about young goalies, well, he was up to the task last night and then some. So they intend to contend. Washington's in the mix. Philadelphia's in the mix. And you even want to look at Columbus, the way they've started. Columbus is a team to me that, you know, I don't expect a lot from them. But then you look at that roster and you say, well, it's not exactly a roster filled with guys of a team that is clearly intending to tank, like an Arizona or a Buffalo. There's some level of talent on that team. They've got a decent netminder in Merzlikins. And they've got some really nice pieces on the back end with Werenski and Bean. You know, I wouldn't expect them to make the playoffs, but if they could find a way to garner some momentum and get on a little bit of a run, like similar to the Islanders, what was it, 3 years ago, where they kind of surprised teams into January and February and were playing in meaningful games and ended up making the playoffs, I don't know if I would actually be surprised by that from Columbus's standpoint either. So, and New Jersey's only played one game. So my point is that there's a lot of good teams in that Metro division, and if you get too far behind that eight ball, I don't care how good you are, it just becomes too difficult when you got to pass so many teams ahead of you. Like, then you're looking for three teams to go in the tank. That's a lot to ask. So I would give it, you know, another, what'll be Tuesday, I'd give it another like 10 days if the Islanders have not got it together to the point where they've righted the ship and they look like they're heading in the right direction. Yeah, I would be concerned.
Davey, always good to catch up with you. Quickly, when you look at the early season, you know, there's quite a few power plays, or the power plays have had a lot of success. Can the Edmonton Oilers power play be 29% again at the end of the season?
I mean, there's a longer season this year, so it gives you a little bit longer of a time to go through some skids. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard to bet against McDavid and Draisaitl. You got Puljujärvi, net front presence. Man, has that guy ever turned into a player? I think we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, and Tyson Barry or even Darnell Nurse dishing back there. I mean, it's a tough bet to make, because to go 29%, 30% it really is bananas. But if there was ever a team that, if you told me I had to bet, the Oilers would be a team that I would think about placing that bet on, because I watched a lot of the game on Saturday, or at least second half of the game, and I liked a lot of what I saw from that Oilers team. So I'd be willing to make that bet if you want to put, a $20 bill on it, boys. We can revisit this in May and see what happens.
I like it. Davey, have a good one, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, boys.